Joy.
Yes.
Are we recording?
We are recording.
Let's just call this meeting to order of the National Airport Authority, Wednesday, June 21st at 6:02. Roll call, please.
Director Rosenblum?
Chair Rosenblum is here.
Vice Chair Cushing Adams?
Here.
Director Woods?
Here.
Director Kett is running a little late. And Secretary Scheifel?
Here.
Is there any public input? Moving right along. Secretary's report, minutes.
The minutes from last month were posted that the note regarding the change of operations. I move to approve the minutes for May 17th.
I second.
Discussion? Any corrections? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Treasurer's report. We'll start with the financial statements. I'll ask you to turn to page 19. And that is the May 31st financials. Showing the comparison of actual to budget and the year to date. Our land lease income for the month was right on target. Fuel flowage fees was up a little bit. Otherwise, there were minimal variances. So we have received for the month about $1,200 more than we had anticipated. And on the income side, year to date, we're at $23,337, primarily because we have higher fuel flowage fees by almost $12,000. And then we received our state of New Hampshire registration fees. We had budgeted $50,000, we received $56,000. On the expense side, the month shows close to budget on the wages for full-time employees. Part-time, we had no expense this month, and we had minimal overtime for the month. Otherwise, the expenses going down the list are all within minimal budgets, with under $1,000 for each line item. And on page 21, we had our general liability policies were due, so we paid $2,900. But year to date, we're right on target, so that was a timing issue. Fuel on the diesel was on the budget by $1,500, and year to date by $2,400. So overall, for the expense side for the month, we were $8,300 under what we had budgeted, and year to date, we're $42,000 under budgeted. That leaves, we had some other income that came in during the year for reimbursements, primarily from the retirement, the New Hampshire Retirement Service, help for health insurance premiums that were paid and reimbursed, of $26,000. So we have a net surplus of $126,000. Of that, we contributed $104,000 towards our portion of the master plan and the paving project, and we reimbursed by the city $47,000 which leaves a net income after CIP expenses of just over $69,000. I'd like to make a motion to accept the treasurer's report and the audit.
Second.
Discussion?
Let's get like $1 out here. What's the big thing?
That's a round. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Next item, one of the budgeted items on the list is the welcome, Director Duquette.
Hi, everybody. You're stuck on 93.
We just finished the budget, and then we have the board discretionary expense that we have budgeted $3,000 for the year. We've spent $525. At this meeting, the board has taken up discussion as to whether they should disperse the balance at the time. So I will open the floor for discussion on that.
Tom,
yes, I believe we should.
Nothing additional.
All right, we'll take care of that in June then.
We need a vote.
No, we don't, because it's been approved on a budget. Okay, so then we move to the budget for 2018, which is page 23. Before we go through the items, I just want to change what the headings are so you can understand a little better. The first column is 2017 year-to-date actual through May 31st. So you can cross out budget. That's actual. The third column is where we project to wind up the year. So that's projected, cross out budget, and put actual in there. And the fifth column is 2018, that's proposed budget, not projected budget. So in sitting down with the staff and going through budget, it was very difficult to work out and try to anticipate what our expenses are and income is for the upcoming year with regards to Daniel Webster's lease and items. So let me just talk about the highlights. $307,000 proposed in land lease income. That is the current leases that we have in place. On July 1st, there's a cost of living increase to be put in, and that does not include any of the leases for the Daniel Webster areas. That should come out to $307,000. So that's why it's a decrease over the current year. That increase will be effective January 1st. Fuel farm income is the same. Fuel flow fees, we are seeing an uptick in fuel usage at the airport, and we anticipate that will continue. The tie-down parking is what we currently have as tie-downs, and we expect it to be fairly level for the upcoming year. And the state of New Hampshire registration fees, we propose budgeting $50,000, although this year we got $56,000. As you know, each year the tax rate goes down on the registration fees, so still a very conservative number. And the snow removal income, we had $37,000 in revenue this year. What we are proposing is a $40,000 budgeted line item with a increase in snow removal fees effective for $25, $15 per snow removal. That has not changed in over 5 years. Yes, sir.
I believe my condo association paid $85 a final amount. That'll make it 100.
Yes. The wages full time includes the current staff. We have four full time staff people. And proposes a cost of living increase in there. Wages for part-time, we had $8,300 last year, but we did have some overtime on the part-timers. What we are proposing is that we currently have the same part-time staff and add one more additional part-time person. That will round out and will reduce the amount of overtime to down to 7,500 to over from over 10,000.
Question. The wages part-time include snow blowing, is that correct?
Yes. Affiliated benefits have been calculated, so FICA will go up slightly on that increase in the wages, and also the benefits will go up slightly. Otherwise, there are minimal changes going down the list. We do have $15,500 in building and grounds maintenance, which was similar to what we have this coming this year. Airfield equipment, we have budgeted $8,000, although there's quite a bit of antique equipment on the airport. And I'll be requesting some updates and replacements for some of the equipment. So that is a conservative but low figure, but we have to live within our budget. Vehicle repairs are similar to what we have for the current year at $18,000. Workers' compensation will go down a little bit. Our rate has decreased. Fuel on diesel will increase slightly from $14,000 to $15,000. On page 24, finishing up, we just have equipment and office expenses. So we have budgeted operating expenses of $550,000. That would leave a net income for the year of just under $6,000. We're expected another $800 to come back on workers' comp refund. And I know I'm throwing a lot of numbers out here, but if there are any questions. And then below that, we have CIP expenses of $35,000 for each of the projects. We're projecting that the city will reimburse based on their new budget. I don't know if their budget has been approved yet. Does anyone know that?
I looked online today and I didn't see it.
So that would be a net balance of about $6,700.
Line 5407 Snow Farm and Mowing. We have a 5,017 and 0 for 2018. Is that because it's gone up into the other line?
Correct.
And I have a question.
That's Snow Farm.
And we didn't expend anything this past year.
And then, Mike, this one for accounting and auditing from 8,000 to 2,000?
Yes, because we're at a certain level of revenue with our projects, we get reimbursed from the part of the projects, so it's been wanting to offset our accounting fees.
From Michael, 54821 equipment rental. What do we anticipate renting in 2018? Because that looks like a new line item.
Which one?
54821. It's $1,000.
Equipment rental?
Yeah. I'm just curious what we anticipate renting.
Was there in 2017?
Right? We talked about the sealing equipment, crack sealing equipment.
Right.
Okay.
We budgeted for it this past fiscal year.
Any other questions? I'd like to make a motion to approve the budget as presented.
I'll second.
Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. In conjunction with the budget, I'd like to have a separate motion to authorize increasing the snow plowing rate, increase it to $15. Okay. Discussion? All in favor?
Okay.
Yes, sir.
I just want to point out that going into three digits is going to push the expectations of the folks I know in my condo association for a little higher quality work.
Higher quality work?
Yeah.
Hold on,
let me
write your name down here.
The plow guy. We have, in the past winter, maybe, I guess there was a new back door, but the snow was packed more up against the doors.
I think we have better, we have more staff now. Yeah. This was a rough, it's been a rough time. I think we're in a better spot now.
Our new airport manager will take that all under advisement.
And not to mention, like Michael already mentioned, they haven't raised the rates since 2012.
That's true.
And we'll do our best to take good care of everybody out there. I'm well aware of these issues you spoke of. It's not just your condo. It's quite a bit of it around the airfield.
Okay.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Next on the agenda is no communications. So we have the tower report. That is various pages for page 27. We show that for the month of May, we had a increase over last year of 3%. We had 4608 as landing traffic takeoff. still behind last year by about 10%. But we're in a positive mode at this point. Airport manager.
Well, we had a few events in the last month. We had the Young Eagles, which went off really well. We did about 158 rides. It went right until, I think, around 5 o'clock-ish. So we gave rides all day, and that was great. We had the Aviation Museum barbecue. It was well attended, several aircraft. You get a lot of antique cars like they anticipated. A lot of people with airplanes, and everything went fine. We had our tenant appreciation barbecue on Friday the 16th, and it was a great turnout. Everybody showed up early. Everybody seemed real happy, and we probably cooked about 100 hamburgers. So that went off well. And the other big recent event we had was phase two of the pavement maintenance project was completed ahead of schedule on June 9th. And we were able to get all the tenants back to their hangars in Corporate Row and Hangar 7 on Saturday the 10th. So that worked out well. Upcoming events, we have poker run this weekend that we spoke about in the last meeting. Ron Emond's people are putting on the poker run. Coming up in August, we have movie night, August 4th at dusk. They're going to be showing Rogue One, Star Wars. And then the following day, we have the Wheels and Wings at 93 Furman Road, which is the Airport Authority building, from 10 to 2. And I've been working with the City Summer Fund Committee to organize that. There's all kinds of trucks and planes on display for that. Other items of interest. Just in this past week, we were contacted from the attorney for the trustee for Daniel Webster College, and they requested an additional 90 days lease extension, which we granted to them so that they can review the leases and decide whether they're going to keep the leases or get rid of them. And that's going to terminate on October 16th. So hopefully we'll hear from them in the meantime, and I've asked the attorney to keep us up to speed on whatever they're deciding on. Other things we had going on, Matt Barraby has acquired some items through this government program that we paid nothing for. We talked about the forklift last month. This month we acquired a diesel-powered air compressor, portable air compressor, and a 16-foot snow push box, which goes on the front end of the loaders in basically brand new condition. So good job to Matt. Not here right now to pat him on the back, but he's worked hard at acquiring these items. He also put in a bid just the other day for what's called a tenant sweeper. And with the new porous pavement that we have, you can't let sediment get into the porous pavement or it fails, gets all clogged up. So we found a sweeper and we put a request for the sweeper in. And basically it's a sweeper truck with a vacuum on it. And we'll be able to maintain the porous pavement with this. And once again, this will be the free item to the airport through this government program.
Do you think we'll get it, Chris?
I think we'll get it. I don't know for sure, but there's another one. If we don't get this one, we'll put a bid in for that as well. But it looks pretty good, like we're going to get it. No one else has put in for it yet either. So, like I said, Matt gets on the computer every morning and goes through these things because there's a lot of equipment that we need that we really can't afford. And with this program, we're finding things here and there that really work to our benefit. Another item, we secured the keys to the aviation center. We have access to the entire building. That was something we were concerned with the closing of DW College. So we have all the master keys now, and not only do we have the keys, but we have permission to have access to the building from the trustee.
Okay, so that said, can we move these meetings to the aviation center?
We don't have permission to use the building at this point.
Okay.
Just access the utilities.
Mm-hmm.
Because includes all the electrical and the plumbing, et cetera, for the tower is downstairs in the aviation center.
Okay.
Chris, just you touched on before about the lease agreements with DWC, and you just mentioned about the aviation side. I'd like to hear specifically about the tower. Do we have control over the control tower?
Yes.
Yes. There's no way it can be taken away, right?
Not that we can see right now, no.
Yeah.
We won't let that out.
Are they potentially partially the building?
Not that they've told me, and I had a discussion with the attorney the other day, and the discussion was, she initially said, well, we hope to sell the property within like 90 days. I said, you have a customer? No. And then I reminded her of the terms of the lease, and she really hadn't read the lease. And I think that this was a big part of the extension. And she said somebody in her office read the lease, but she had not. So I explained it to her, and she said that she will get on reading the lease immediately. That's all I can really tell you, that's all I know about it. It's my first discussion with the attorney.
So it's still possible that we could lose the control tower? And then
it's more likely that we will gain the entire building.
Yeah, what happens is at the end of the term of the lease, it's written up in the lease that we will gain possession of the entire property and all the improvements on it, the buildings included. And so the reality is, they might have somebody that wants to buy it, but nobody's going to enter into a deal to buy a building that has a 2.5-year lease left on it. And I explained that to the attorney, and she goes, okay. And that's when she decides she needed to read the lease. Because it's very unrealistic. And even if they wanted to bring people into lease office space in there for 2.5 years, now they have a management headache that they don't want. So I don't have a crystal ball, but I have a feeling come October they're going to give it up, because I also recommended that if you do give it up, you're going to save yourself about $75,000 in property taxes over the next 2 years. And yeah, I explained that if you do have a fiduciary agreement with the trustee, you being the attorney, and I think it's probably in their best interest not to get more in debt over this whole bankruptcy proceeding. And she said, okay, I will look into this. So that's where we stand with that.
Also, the FAA leases the tower from us, and the lease had expired in January, and there was no movement to renew it. And in anticipation of potential denial of access to it, I communicated with the FAA that I thought it might be a nice idea. If they wanted to renew it, they ought to do it now, and they did. So the FAA has a no-cost lease on that facility as well. So we've got the big guns behind us should somebody say, you know, you need to move out of the tower.
And we consulted with Steve Bolton as well. And he said, basically, we're not going to lose access to that tower. He said, we own the land. That tower is an integral part of the air traffic system. And he said, it will not happen.
Your question about your property taxes, you mentioned. If the airport takes over ownership, you then, is the airport responsible for things?
No, we will not. Any property taxes.
Can you state your name for the record?
Paul Starr for the record.
Okay, so continuing on. We had some other things going on. There was a major storm drain blockage near the 1-4 runoff area. And I had the City of Nashville DPW Wastewater Treatment Division come in, and we assessed the problem, and they brought the jet truck in. And we cleared the drain, and we've now eliminated the lake that was out by the Mauser area that had accumulated because these drains were blocked. So there's all but a teeny little duck pond out there now. It's all gone. And Matt and I have been going out there and periodically get the debris out of it so it keeps flowing. It was looking like it was going to turn into a wetland that we didn't want at the airport. So we eliminated that. That was great. Those guys were fantastic. Saved the day. Another thing, we we've been trying to get them to use the jet truck to go under Furman Road in front of Hangar 9, but we just replaced all the storm drain. And when we were going to release it, we realized we weren't getting flow under the road. So the whole airfield is airbagged up on that end, on the 3-2 end. And we can't release the airbags because it's not flowing. So I finally got them in the other day. They got a brand new camera truck. And we ran the camera down inside the drain line. And we made it approximately 66 feet, as best as we could calculate with their brand new machine. And it was totally clear until 66 feet. And then we found whatever it is in there. It's kind of really hard to tell, but it's grass and muck and stuff. But what we didn't find is we didn't find any broken clay pipe. And we're anticipating broken pipe under there. That's what everybody speculated from Continental, Dale. We were all out there talking about this. We thought the pipe may be collapsed, but it's not. So, in talking with the guys from wastewater, we said, all right, well, let's jet this out. And we'll clear this out. This will be done. And we went and looked on the other side into the pond where it goes into the Spectacle Pond. Is that what it's called there?
Okay.
And we went over there, and the water level was above the pipe. So the city guys said, well, we must have a beaver dam in here somewhere, because that's supposed to be just wetland, not a pond. So Matt and I went out there yesterday late afternoon, and they gave us this little map here, and we looked it over, and there's a beaver dam that we found. And we went and borrowed a John boat, some paddles, and some rakes, and we cleaned up the beaver dam. And we dropped the level of that significantly. And we went in this morning with rubber boots and waders and did some more. And we've got most of that water flowing out of there to the point where now we can pull the airbag that's blocking it on that end. And sometime this week when the guys can come back, we'll be able to jet that. And we'll be able to, open up the other airbags and drain the whole field into it.
Within his job description, he's come under, performs on the duties of the side.
Make it happen, right?
Come across the beaver.
We have not, but Matt's actually going to contact the, we have a trapper that comes in. Well, they did it overnight. And when we came in this morning, it wasn't flowing again. We're like, are you kidding me? I was here last night at 9 o'clock checking it out. It was still flowing. So they worked. They punched in at 9 p.m. or something.
They were meeting with their attorney.
Yeah. So they actually built it back up. We broke it back down. Really broke it down this morning.
Wes?
I was just going to point out that you're going to have to be out there every morning.
Right.
That we have beavers in our airport. Yeah.
They're all it. That's their life. They make damage. The MIT engineers, right? So, yeah, we're going to stay on top of that. Hopefully these guys can come back this week with the jet truck, and we'll finally solve this problem. As Nick knows, this has been an ongoing issue.
I'm glad it was not a broken pipe.
Yeah. It took a while. They just got the brand-new truck, and we wouldn't get anything for the brand-new truck. I helped show them how to use it, so that worked well.
They've been really helpful, huh?
They've been great. And we have another problem out on the field while we're talking about all this stuff. We found another sinkhole yesterday or the day before, I'm sorry, out on the golf ramp. And so the guys were here, the wastewater guys. They came over, they lifted the cover. There's a structure right there, right next to the sinkhole. And they believe that part of the structure is eroded away, some of the mortar under it. So as soon as they can get freed up, after they do the jetting of the perimeter road, they're going to come in. We also talked to Paul Wallace from DPW, and he'll come in as well. They're going to assess how they're going to fix this. But they've said that they'll take care of it for us.
With respect to the water going under the perimeter road, Nick and or Eric and Gail commented once when we were out there looking at when we saw the collapse, that 20% of the participation that falls on the airport goes through that pipe, under that road, into the pond. 20%.
Yeah.
That's a lot of water.
Yeah, it's a lot of water. Yeah.
Everything from the infields, basically from Tacuary Bravo this way, goes right into that system. There is an emergency overflow that outlets to a subsurface infiltration area, but emergency. It's only going to go that way if it builds up enough.
until we pull these airbags, there's going to be a lot of water coming, but we're going to pour gradually so we don't blow the manhole covers off, things like that. The city had a concern. They're like, we release these, it's going to be slow. They said it would lift those grates even with bolts right off the tops of those covers.
Well, July 4th is the
cheap way out.
That's about all I have to tell you. Anybody have any questions?
I have a question on the what promotion is being done for the movie night on the Wheels and Wings.
Like I said, I'm working with the City of Nashville, the Summer Fun Committee, and the reality is Kelly Overholzer, I said that correctly, and there's another lady, Beth Tottenham. They're taking care of most of that. Things that I'm doing are coordinating vehicles and people and for displays, and they have a list of people they're contacting.
Where the flyers around the airport?
Sure, let me just one more second. I know that you had mentioned something about a banner across Main Street, and I'm going to take that up at my next meeting with Kelly.
Yeah, that's a little bit complicated to manage. You have to pay overtime, and there's a pecking order down there. It might be, I think it's too late for this year. Probably should consider banners for our fence. And also, to answer your question, it is being published in the Telegraph. It's under the events coming up, et cetera. So it's getting the coverage that it got last year.
Okay.
But I mean, if you get the matter of Main Street.
Yeah, Mike mentioned it the other day, and so I took note of that. I was going to take it up with Kelly.
So can you make sure that there's lots of flyers and stuff?
There is a link on the city website on overhead banners for Main Street.
Okay.
I'll come over and grab some.
Can we get the tags and bring them up to the restaurant?
Yeah.
And they
also had a couple
years ago,
every year,
you have
to
be signed for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
All over the city of Nashville?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I just had some made, for the restaurant. Very inexpensive.
But I think it's summer fun, Kelly.
Yeah.
Like
Roll
Control.
Yeah, Beth and Kelly
do that. Yeah,
election time.
Yeah, all over the city.
I have a comment with respect to the Aviation Museum event. It got a very, very large coverage front page in the National Telegraph, and there was virtually no mention of the airport at all. It was very, very close hold for the Aviation Museum and Manchester Airport, as to what they do at Manchester Airport. I was a little bit annoyed that we didn't get, I think, the credit that we deserved for having an event like that. And I would just say that in the future, and 99% of the time, everyone else does it when it comes to an event going on the airport. We get more than our share of favorable publicity, but it just seems to me that the Aviation Museum is very, very close hold with all of our museums, all of their events, and virtually no comments at all about the fact that it was our airport.
Of course, it was a paid event that they put on.
I mean, the symposium. The sculpture then got more publicity in the paper, and they were very, very complimentary in the airport.
We'll work on that. We'll
talk to Bob about that.
Anything else? Yes, Wes.
Since you're talking about events, I think in the past, one of the topics of discussion was the Collins Foundation, some of the touring workers that come by.
There is not for this year. It was explained to me that in the past, Danny Webster College was paying for those events.
Really?
Yeah.
I believe that's how
that is correct.
Webster sponsored all that. That's what I have always believed. I never did the research.
I will say that Joe Duquette and I met with Collins Foundation, and Joe's had several phone conversations with them. We're trying to get Collins to come to Nashua to house at least three aircraft.
From Worcester.
Yeah, right. From Worcester. They currently have another project going on. They said they don't want to have two construction projects going on at the same time. But we're going to continue discussions with them and I think eventually, hopefully, we can have them based in Nashua. That would be a real good draw for people there.
When I spoke with them in January, they said to me, if HB 124 passes, we're coming.
All their lights are over.
Yeah, they're old. They should have no
They want to move. They want to also move one from Florida, and they want to move one from the West Coast. That's what they told me.
They want to get out of Worcester. Worcester has become such a giant pain in the butt for them, just with Massport and everything else and access. And the guy was throwing around big dollar signs. If we handed him the keys to the Webster hangar, he would have dropped a pile of money on us that day. It was. I mean, they're not shy.
One of their projects, what do you say, it took a week to get up $1.6 million?
Yeah, he went out and did some sort of crowdfunding or something, and just generated over $1 million, just bang. So they're not, and I talked to Eric about it a while ago, but they'll build, they'll buy, you know, they just got to be given the right whatever. But we found out quite a bit. I mean, I knew of them, obviously. I don't know how much you knew in terms of the weeds of them, but they got a lot of money, and they got a lot of resources, and they got a lot of...
Not to mention the guy that was in charge lives in Nashua.
He's a Webster guy, he was very charged up to come here, very much so. They're looking to reposition a bunch of aircraft around the country, and, you know, they really would like to set up an anchor here, so.
Do you have an idea of the kind of equipment that they have? They own an F-4,
yep.
And they own one of the ME-262.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I believe they were restoring F-105, so...
Yeah, I don't think they're going to bring the Phantom up here. They were talking maybe like a P-40, a P-38, things like that. The F-4 would be awesome. Oh, I'd be all for a Phantom. Yeah, that'd be cool.
I'll take the call.
Yeah. Anyway,
that's
the movement.
Any other questions for the airport manager? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next on the agenda is the airport engineer.
I'm substituting for Matt. He's in school this week. I'm a new Franklin Gale associate. I've just touched upon the master plan stuff that's going on, according to Matt. Matt, it looks as though the committee is looking to meet its third meeting at the end of June 1st of July, maybe after the 4th. Type of thing, and I think he's talking with you, Stuart. So, we're at the point now, if you are building a house, this is finishing the foundation. Once you get to the aviation forecast, that really sets, from an aviation point of view, the rest of the master plan. So, it's an important junction in the plan. So it looks as though Matt was planning and hoping that maybe around August, depending upon how things go, the first four chapters could be presented to the authority for formal approval. That also has to be approved by New Hampshire DOT formally. This is the only part of the master plan that requires official approval. And the only other thing is that, we did talk with Director Duquette about the CIP. He gave him our thoughts, he gave us his thoughts. We had a good conversation, actually. And I guess you're going to revise it at some point.
Yeah, I'll jump in there real quick, actually. It kind of dovetails into when we get to the strategic planning committee, but I'll kind of cover it now. So, our strategic planning committee back in, I think it was May or April or May, whatever, we took the CIP that existed or exists currently, kind of hashed it through, had a bunch of questions, tried to figure out what it all means. Kind of bounced those off Gail. I had a conversation with Armin and Nick and Matt a week or two ago. Got a bunch of feedback, sent it to all of us on the strategic planning committee. We just haven't been able to get our schedules to sync up to kind of just reconvene briefly and see where we're at. The next step was basically then to tie it in with a master planning committee to make sure that we were all jiving on the same path, and kind of come to ultimately what needs to be sort of, if there is going to be a revised CIP. And I believe Matt said we really needed to have that for board approval probably next month in July, at the July meeting.
Yeah, because NHDOT is starting that.
Right. So the way we kind of saw the process here was we would probably on the strategic side meet here within the next week or 10 days to just do our wrap-up, get with you guys then on the master planning, which sounds like it's going to be right after the 4th, before the July meeting, do our thing there, and then have that culminate into the revised CIP for the July meeting. And I think at that point, if we can make those steps happen, then we're on to the next phase of this.
Right. Don't forget, I mean, you are doing a master plan, so that will probably have an effect later on. These things evolve constantly.
Right.
So as far as, you know, what you're doing, presenting it in July,
right,
that when you're going to want to vote?
Essentially, yeah. And a lot of it, to be honest with you, there's not a lot of earth-shaking kind of stuff on there. A lot of it was clarifications. Some of the stuff like the SRE equipment and Chris is finding ways around, I mean, to program that stuff in. So a lot of the equipment needs, which are lower priority on the FAA scale anyways, are kind of being addressed. Then there was a lot of stuff with, like, the taxiway renovations, right? And there was some sort of, well, if you do this one, this one, this one, then you don't do this one, that one kind of stuff, mm-hmm. you know? So we just have to kind of get into sync to determine exactly what we want to do. And
so any chance that we can, you know, see it before the meeting to digest and think it through?
No, I don't have a problem with that. I mean, of course, I don't know if we want to, if there's a special meeting or something to give it to everybody at once, or if that's an informational thing we can circulate.
The committee is going to meet to finalize.
Right, exactly.
So once we have that finalized, then we can circulate it with the board.
Okay, that's fine. Yep. So that'll probably that'll be right around. I would suspect we'll probably try to get. Talk to Dave and stuff.
Let's talk offline after the meeting.
Okay. So within the next probably 10 days, 2 weeks, we'll have that. We'll get it so we can all review it. And then by the time the master planning committee meets, we'll be on the same page.
Yes, Wes.
Is there anything you can put on the website for the rest of the world to consume? Any grass stuff? Where your priorities are?
I'm assuming at some point where it's a bit of the sausage is being made, if you will, right now.
I think, like you said, we need to get the two committees together.
Right.
Once we have our subcommittee meetings, then we should have a meeting with both committees, and then we can get something together and start posting things and communicating to the entire board.
Well, once the committee work is done, then we can start posting it to the website.
So I'll speak to the the master plan stuff a little bit. So Matt has sent me chapter 4, and I need to distribute that to the committee members and get the next meeting arranged to discuss that chapter. I don't think he has yet given me any revisions to chapters 1 through 3, after having discussed those. At least I don't remember seeing anything from him on that.
I'll ask him about that.
Okay.
I'll talk to him in the morning.
Is that it?
It is for me, but I think that's a few things.
Mr. Rick,
thank you.
Are there any other questions on the master plan project? Okay. So, in addition to that project, Gail is also administering the pavement reconstruction and maintenance project, which Chris had mentioned finished up in 61 of 75 contract calendar dates. So substantial completion was on June 9th. On the same day, the final inspection was held. A punch list of items to be completed was generated from the outcome of that final inspection, and the contractor was issued that punch list on Friday, June 9th as well. Immediately following the inspection, the contractor was issued the punch list, and per the specifications of the project, they have 30 days to complete the punch list work, including 5 working days on site. If they take more than 5 days, then the authority has the ability to resume contract time, and if they go over the 75 calendar days, then the authority has the ability to assess liquidated damages. I don't think it'll come to that, but it's something that we can use to our advantage if they are dragging their feet on the aerial photographs or hangar door repairs, things like that.
Anything crazy on the punch list or just sort of standard?
Actually, I do have one question. Either you or Chris or both of you can address this. Do you want to talk about the border of the non-movement area?
Yes. I was kind of seeing if you were going to lead up to it, Dave.
Sure, I can absolutely.
I can talk about it if you like.
So the non-movement area marking, the way it was marked after that first weekend, Chris called and said, I've noticed an operational concern where aircraft don't want to cross over it to then call for the ground frequency, come back into it, and then to the tower to get to the hold, you know, beyond the hold line. So based on that, I worked with Chris. We drafted up a plan with a revised location, which I then sent to NHDOT for approval. NHDOT got back to me today and said, I'm out of, you know, Carol said, I'm out of the office today, but I brought your email with me, and I'll try to review it today. I did not hear back from her before the end of the day, but she has everything she needs at this point to say yes or no. And just so you guys are aware, we underran the markings item by about $23,000 between the pavement markings and the marking removal, and the change would be somewhere around $11,000 to complete. So no issues with going over the grant amounts or contract amounts at all. It's all in compliance with the ACE, and I don't see any reason why any ACE would hold up the process.
So why did that marking get changed?
Well, originally, when the project was bid, Alpha Ramp was not scheduled for reconstruction. Being that it was added to the project, well, now we have the additional real estate to do run-ups, we have the ability to relocate that line to provide some more area for aircraft.
Okay.
Is the line essentially going back to where it was before the crash project?
The line, not as far back as it was. We moved it up about 15 feet so that the tower has line of sight to the entire movement area line.
That's where the tower is now?
No.
No, so they're relocated.
Back to their line of sight?
Back to
the tower.
The limit of their line of sight, correct.
Can I make a comment here a little bit, please? As far as crossing, I'm trying to figure out why someone would think what you just described, that they can't go over the line in order to come back to the line. Once you've been given a clearance to taxi to the runway, you can taxi via the way they had asked you to taxi. There is nothing that says you can't go over. They did that before, both places where that line used to be. There's nothing that says they can't. So, I mean, if you leave it there, you save money. There's no need for that. It's extra work that's really not required. Point.
I met with Brian Dean from the tower. You know Brian?
Mm-hmm.
Tower chief. And I also had Lenny come out. And I've been out there with Farrell and Nick and Danny. And I spent a few hours one night watching what was going on out there before I brought them on. What I noticed was the area is really crowded. I should have brought these for everybody, but I didn't. Where they put this line where the X's are, it was 100, how many feet was it, Nick, from the center line?
From center line, I believe it was 65.5.
65 feet, okay. So what I noticed for openers, where a lot of planes came down, and I would, it's only venturing a guess, and I am a pilot, so I know how we think. These people came down, and instead of turning around, facing the wind, and doing their run-ups, I think they almost felt like they didn't have enough room to turn around here. And the first three planes I watched all did their run-ups with the tail to the wind, and they were all lined up on each other. They weren't directing their prop wash anywhere. And they all went out, took off, everything was fine. I saw a few more planes come up, and at this point they were doing the same thing, three more aircraft. Then there was a guy, I was listening to the radio, a student pilot who was solo, and he came up and he crossed outside of the movement area, came out here, turned into the wind, and he did what we would all normally do, do a run-up. And then he proceeded to taxi back over here, get his clearance on tower, and went took off. Well, As I watched this, I watched a few more things. I thought, well, if a jet came down here, at the time when there's three planes stacked up, there's no way they're going to be able to get by. It's impossible. So he can be held up. And at that point, I had Lenny come down, then I had Brian come down, and we talked about it. And technically, if you exit this area, you now are required to contact ground to enter the movement area again. And they confirmed that. And I said, we can sit here all day and listen to radio. There's not a single pilot that's going to recall ground to get clearance into the air. I said, so we have the potential for a problem here. And to avoid any problem like that, if we brought it back to how it was, it gives you a lot of room. People come in here, they can turn, they can do all their run-ups. Jet aircraft that don't go down there and do run-ups like we do in prop planes, they can taxi right by and get onto the runway. No hold up for them. And so we thought, Brian agreed 100% with me, that this area that was here was way too tight, it didn't work, and there is potential for a problem. Initially, we planned on moving it back, I believe it was 162 feet, but then I went out there and I looked at it, and I walked, and I had a line of sight to the tower, and I made sure that it was always in line of sight to the tower, and I had to bring it back to 150 feet from the Alpha center line, is what it was. And then we come down the end here, and at the tie downs along the fence, it was originally drawn up for 25 feet of clearance. And I looked at that, I said, well, that doesn't work. If you need to pull an aircraft out of that last tie down, you'll be into the movement area every time. So we skewed that, well, we didn't skew, we made that 40 feet now. So there's 40 feet from the head of that tie down, and that intersects with this line right over here. Now, there's plenty of room for everybody on the fence, the brick hanger people to maneuver in here, at East Point, because they lost some pavement, if they need to bring aircraft over here. There's plenty of room in here in the non-movement area, and now there's plenty of room for everybody doing run-ups out here, and we thought it would solve the problem. And Nick agreed with this, Brian Bean, and Lenny Cushing.
There's money there, right?
And there's money there, and all they have to do is they'll come in, they'll surface grind the markings out, and they'll repaint it.
You know, I'm really surprised to hear that Brian and Lenny both thought that way, because once you've been cleared to the runway, you have to do a run, wherever that run-up happens to be. You've already been given the clearance to go up to the whole side of the runway, which is out of the which you're going to fix something.
This is what I hashed out with them. I know you were a controller.
Yeah, but I just don't understand why people get confused. If it's what I probably, this is my opinion, I probably send out a flyer to all the schools and say, hey, listen, if you're confused, this is what it actually is when you get clearance.
Okay, I hear that. And somebody else, Danny, when we first started talking about this, he's one of the engineers at Gale, he says, well, why don't you just notify everybody? You notify everybody in the entire country, because it's not just people from Nashville that fly there.
I agree.
People coming with transient aircraft constantly coming in there.
The signs would be a heck of a lot cheaper than having to go through all that again.
This was our decision, and
I like it.
I think it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. And Steve, we don't get to keep the difference. You know, we don't get to keep the money, so.
You don't spend it.
Yeah. I'm not trying to spend every nickel either. I'm trying to do what's right.
Anyway, the way I was brought up, not to spend it.
Well, it's not wasted. Actually, it goes back to the FAA and some other airport gets it.
Yeah, now that's a waste of money.
Now that's
not necessarily.
That's what happens.
Steve, like I said, I'm trying to do what's right for our airport. This is kind of my opinion, and that of at least four other people, five other people, what's right for our airport.
Having experienced it this morning, that area is much too tight to do a run-up.
Yeah.
I was just going to comment on your presentation. At least it made a whole lot of sense to me. You know, I'm 100% agreement with your conclusion, and I'd just like to add that if you're trying to attack corporate jets at the airport, and one jet gets held up one time, and that word gets out, how much potential money might the airport be losing in that kind of revenue?
I think that's a good point.
Potential revenue loss.
Absolutely. Thank you.
When can we expect that to be done?
Next. Well, we have to get the approval from DOT.
Correct. Upon the approval from DOT, the contractor has to come back and wait to apply the second coat of markings, at which time the pavement will have aged the 30 days, which means you could apply both coats of any new marking at the same time. So it should be one more mobilization, I believe, in mid-July to do that. And
they can do both markings at the same time on this if they don't put the glass feed down at the first marking.
Right. If they're going to do both coats, they wouldn't put glass.
They can do it in one day. Okay.
Please continue.
Okay. And then following up, the third bullet here, Gale has received written approval from NHDOT for the installation of the porous pavement. A little after the fact, but we had to round out the paperwork, just make sure we had everything in order. Draft change order one was approved by NHDOT, and the final change order packages were sent to Continental on 6/17. I received them yesterday, and I have them for Chris's signature here tonight. From there, they'll go directly to DOT for signature, and then it's all approved, and we can pay the contractor for the additional work, for the tie downs, for the porous pavement, infiltration trenches, and alkaline. And finally, the addendum to the NPE transfer agreement was prepared by Gale and approved by NHDOT. It was sent to the town of Whitefield for signature on June 6th and returned on June 13th. The document was then sent to Chairman Rosenblum for signature on June 14th, with instructions that be forwarded to NHDOT upon execution. There should have been a pre-addressed envelope in there with it. Once NHDOT receives that, they'll stick it with the transfer agreement and file it forever. So recommended actions for the pavement maintenance project, there are none at this time.
Question?
Yes.
Have you signed it? Is it on?
I signed it immediately as soon as I received it, and I sent it out.
Oh, you mailed it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we've got paid.
And the check is on.
And the final project that Gale's administering on behalf of the authority is the runway groove and seal project. Since the last meeting, there had not been a governor and council meeting to approve the expenditure of the funds. And I believe the FAA had only released their grants, what was it, on Monday?
Mm-hmm.
So if the NHDOT block grant was included in the grants that were released by the FAA, it would not be on today's governor and council meeting agenda either. It would be on next month. So for the time being, no action is required on that project. We're still waiting for approval of the funds.
But you don't know if it has been seen by the state?
I looked on the federal list of grants released, not for the NHDOT projects, because they don't specify an airport specifically. It's just a block grant, so they release money for all of the projects that NHDOT can administer. Did not see NHDOT block grant on there, but then I was looking for something else.
Well,
sorry.
Hopefully the wind's a month to find out if NHDOT got that money.
No, I can call NHDOT in the morning and get an answer for that. I can email the authorities and just let you guys know. But once those offer letters are given, the state's pretty good about distributing notifications to the airport that they receive funding.
And these come out of the FY17 federal budget?
Yes. The grants that were applied for by me first. That's the end of the roof and seal project. And then under general items, we have the airport's 2017 through 2020 DDD plan is due on August 1st. Gale has provided airport management with a copy of the draft DDD plan to make it available for public comment. Gale provided the airport management with public notice language to be advertised in the National Telegraph on June 12th. And following that 30-day public comment period, Gail will seek formal approval from the airport authority at its July meeting, and then will subsequently submit the report to the FAA by August 1st. And then the last item on under general items is the CIP. Again, we conducted a telecom with authority member Chet to discuss the potential reorganization of CIP projects. We're now just waiting for the outcome of those strategic planning, master planning meetings. And keep in mind that the only projects or projects that are somewhat important are the ones that are coming up in the next year or two. Beyond that, you'll have another CIP meeting next year, at which point you could shuffle projects again. So I don't want you guys to worry about making mistakes you have to live with to get by for another year or two. As long as you select the projects that are higher priority.
Question. Have you seen the 12th June publication?
Yes, you did. Just by the way, rarely get a comment on these.
Very yeah, I understand.
Yeah.
You know, I, yep. Is it that black box? So you need to know? Okay. Did I read it and I didn't see it?
Yeah, I just found online.
Okay. Nick, just for clarification, those ones that are the active projects, that's Groove and Seal, obviously. Does that also include anything that's programmed for 2018 or just the 2017 stuff? And I'm looking at the current
CIP. The 2018 project is to acquire a piece of snow removal.
Right.
And we have not had a scoping meeting with NHDOT, so there are, for all intents and purposes, there's no project at this point.
It's really Groove and Seal. It's really the only in master planning. Was that going to conclude this? That's going to go into next year, right? What's the totality of the master planning?
Maintenance will be concluded this year. I'm not sure how long
for the master plan.
Master plan.
I think we had 18 plus months for that.
Yeah, so that'll go
okay, into next year.
It's going to be a while before that.
So master plan, pavement maintenance, Groove and Seal.
Groove and Seal will go into 2018.
Right, right. So those are really the ones we just have to be cognizant. Those aren't getting shoveled anyway. So.
Is that project grooving first and then sealing?
Correct. Okay. We'll groove the runway in the spring and then come back. I'm sorry, groove it in the fall, come back in the spring to seal the
sealing
one.
Answer
your
question.
Okay. Yes.
In the plan, it talks about pavement rejuvenating. Mm-hmm. Is that the sealing process they're talking
it
about,
is.
Or is that something else?
Nope, that's the sealant that we're applying. The GSE 88 from Asphalt Systems,
okay.
Proprietary pavement rejuvenator that basically keeps the pavement from oxidizing.
Okay.
Okay, thank you very much.
No problem.
We do have city reports.
Yep, all set.
Okay. Carl?
All set.
Okay. All business. We have two items under old business. One is Perimeter Place Investments lease extension, and the other is Building 106 lease extension. Mr. Tamposi is here to address the board on one of these items.
Yes, on 106.
Chris.
Right. Thank you.
You know, my name, for the record, is Samuel Tamposi, Jr., and I reside at 39 Indian Rock Road in Nashua. I've lived there for the last 27 years. Very close to the airport, my daughter built a house in our backyard, which fronts on Blackfoot Drive, and they're very close to the airport. We've always maintained a good relationship with the airport authority. We've worked hand-in-hand over the years, granting rights to cut trees on our property years back, and also the airport authority reciprocated a couple of years ago when my daughter built her house there in Blackfoot by granting us an easement for some water line. Now, as Chris alluded to, the airport authority has the big guns. There's no question about it, and I feel like I'm at your mercy because as the landlord, you have all the cards in your favor. But that's just the way it is, and I'm here with a squirt gun trying to get as much energy as possible to make my case. And it's been a long time since I've appeared before a board, so excuse me if I appear nervous or can't even read my own handwriting, which I just put this stuff together the last couple hours. But I want to thank you for the opportunity for me to speak. I'm here to present a request on behalf of a family business partnership called SATSR Limited Partnership, which leases just shy of an acre of land from the Airport Authority. It's 0.932 acres. And on that property, there's an industrial building of 8,400 square feet located at 106 Perimeter Road. And for a little background, my family has had very strong connections to the Nashua Airport, and my grandfather's farm, which still comprises about 50 acres right now, but years back it extended all the way to the Therian farm, which is now the site of the Nashua Airport. And back in the early to mid-30s, my dad and his brother Jim and my uncle Nick, they assisted in putting in the first runway with their old farm tractors and grading and so forth. So there's a lot of history. My dad was there as a kid selling airplane rides for tickets so he can get a free ride on a plane. And of course, my uncle Jim ran the Nashua Aviation as a fixed base operation for many years, and was also an incorporator of New England Aeronautical Institute, the predecessor to Daniel Webster College and ITT. And additionally, my other uncle Nick, who was a pioneer also and was a very famous aviator with Pan American Airways, and the present tower over there is named in his honor. So there's a lot of history. My request is simply a business matter. We'll always maintain cordial relations with the airport no matter what happens. But my request is set forth in a letter that I had given to Bob Scheifel on March 1st, is a request to add a second renewal option of 42 years to our lease agreement. At the present time, we have 7 years remaining on our initial lease term, which expires on July 31st, 2024. Now, we have that 7 years, and we also have a one-time option to extend for 42 years, which would bring the lease up to July 31st, 2066. So if you add it all up, and if the Airport Authority were to grant our present request to add an additional 42 years, from today we'd have about 91 years of time on the lease. And you might ask, why do we need such a long term? We're probably going to be not in this world 50 to 90 years from now, but more than anything else, what precipitated this was a request to ask us if we would be interested in selling the property, and the buyer said he would like to have more time on the lease because in order to feel comfortable that he'd be there for a long time, to be able to not only pay back any financing, but to actually remain enough time to continue to derive some business income before the property finally reverts to the airport. We all know what happened with Hong Kong and China, and nobody ever thought China would lose its lease on Hong Kong, but those things happen. And I know it's not the intent of the Airport Authority to get into the business of basically taking over properties at the end of the lease terms and getting in the business that I'm in of renting properties to tenants. It can happen, and it's just a matter of fact. So, I guess if you can imagine, most homeowners, homeownership lasts maybe less than five to seven years. Is high turnover. But if you're like me, I've lived there 27 years. I expect to live there longer. You want a long term to be able to pay down your debts and build equity, some equity in the house. But on a lease, you're not building equity. The only thing you can derive is the income from your business. So anyway, I wanted to let you know what a commercial ground lease, because this is what this is. It's a commercial building. The commercial ground lease is a long-term agreement, typically between 50 to 99 years for a land-only rental. There's several articles I'd like to leave with you and share with you, because there's some good things that shows the advantages and disadvantages of being, you know, a ground lease is for a landlord as well as a lessee. But I'd like to just give you a quote from this fellow here, and I'll leave you this article. But this guy, his name is Christopher McGranahan, partner and co-founder of a Society of Industrial Realtor firm in Fullerton, California. And he says, in the United States, leases are generally long-term. Medium term would be 55 years, while 75 to 99 years would be long-term. The obvious reason for the lengthy term of the ground lease is that if you're making improvements, like constructing a building on the property, you would like to control that investment for a long time. Another fellow here quoted, another Society of Industrial Realtor was talking about, you know, on the lending side, the first thing lenders look for is the length and terms of the lease. When the remaining time on the ground lease gets inside 30 years, it can be a very difficult to finance. Finally, in this article, there's a quote from a woman, Darlene Marsh, Esquire, an attorney in Nashville, Tennessee. Ground leases are typically long-term, greater than the useful life of the improvements that are built on the land. And so there's a whole history thing here of what a ground lease is. Investopedia, you go online, it's defined as 50 to 99 years. But that's to get over that hurdle. And here's some good material here if you want to look at it, Mike. Now, what does a long-term lease gives the owner of a commercial building enough time to recoup his investment and provides the incentive to maintain and enhance the property? And it, as I said, there's no equity buildup. When entering into a ground lease, everyone's fear is losing the value of the improvements at the end of the lease term and being out at the mercy of the landlord. The buyer needs assurance of continuity, and the financing folks need the comfort level of a long-term lease, especially if they have to foreclose on the property and then they want to resell it. They have to find a buyer or an investor in the open market that's going to be there to say, hey, I'm going to bite the bullet and get involved with this investment because there's enough length of time on the lease. And they don't want to be bootstrapped with leases less than long term. So there are two salient points I'd like to make regarding our request. That is, the 106 Perimeter Road property is outside the airport's fence, and I'm not sure of the terminology, but it's outside the airside zone. In other words, and our property is for commercial use. There are no requirements on the use for our property that it be aeronautical. This is a significant point, as the FAA Airport Compliance Manual, which is 5190.6B, I'm sure you guys know that, focuses on aviation-related uses. Chapter 12, entitled Review of Aeronautical Lease Agreements, well, they even put the term aeronautical lease agreements, begins as follows. This chapter discusses procedures for reviewing lease agreements between the sponsor and aeronautical users. I have that, took a snippet of that chapter, but they do say in here that in review of aeronautical leases, there are certain guidelines that they ask the sponsors to do and determine if the lease, for example, does it grant options or right of first refusal? Does it ensure the sponsor has not entered into a contract that would surrender its capability to control the airport? Identify potential restrictions that could prevent the sponsor from meeting its grant and other obligations to the federal government? And so forth. It goes on to say, does the term exceed a period of years that is reasonably necessary to amortize a tenant's investment? Does the lease provide for multiple options to the term with no increased compensation to the sponsor? We have biannual CPI increases. And then it goes on to say, most tenant ground leases of 30 to 35 years are sufficient to retire a tenant's initial financing and provide a reasonable return for the tenant's development of major facilities. Now, I agree with the first half of that sentence. Usually banks, they want to get paid off within a 30, 25, or 30-year period. That's most that you find financing go out to. But the second part of that sentence, it says, and provide a reasonable return for the tenant's development of major facilities. They're not getting a return. And they're losing any so-called equity that would be built up if they were to be an owner of the property. And when they talk about leases that exceed 50 years may be considered a disposal of the property, and that the term of the lease will likely exceed the useful life of structures erected on the property, it almost seems like an IRS guideline. So, and they have, which I agree with, in the event you enter into anything longer than 99 years, it's the IRS will deem it a sale versus, but again, what I want to point out here is leases that exceed 50 years in term, now that's the term, doesn't talk about options to renew and so forth and so on. But again, this all relates to aeronautical uses. That's what I want to focus on. And again, I can just,
I'm not sure you have this, but I can leave that here with you. So,
now, as I lose my place here,
Can you just summarize what your request is then?
Pardon me?
Can you just summarize?
Yes, your request is? Again, my request is to add an additional second year renewal term for 42 years, with rent being as with the CPI increases as what is called for in our present lease agreement. That's what our request is. The second point that I'd like to make, and again, I go to allude to Chris's big gun thing here, is the airport authority has no fear, despite how many, if you went out 500 years, it's not going to matter to the airport authority, because they should never fear for losing the property for future expansion or aeronautical uses or expansion of the airport, because you have the biggest gun of all. The threat of eminent domain, or not the threat, but eminent domain. The airport authority, on the website, I looked that up today. The airport, I didn't realize the airport authority shall be a corp. This is a quote from your corporation. The airport authority shall be a corporation, and the state of New Hampshire shall have the power to acquire real property by the exercise of the power. Powers of condemnation in the manner provided by law, which towns and cities or the governor and council are authorized to acquire real property for public purposes. So, in a nutshell, we need the additional 42 years in order to attract to make the property saleable, to afford the buyer enough time to recoup not only his investment but to gain something for his sweat and blood. And secondly, this is outside the air zone, the air side. It's a commercial zone. And you have, if you ever needed to have the flexibility of taking that space over, you can do it. You can do it with the eminent domain. And I thank you, and I'd be happy to entertain any questions.
I've read the lease, and originally it was for 36 years, and you're entitled to a 42-year extension in 2024. So that's an 80-year period, and I assume that's why the investment was made of the existing building, because it was an 80-year period. A lot has happened in 80 years. A lot has happened. You know, if you go back to when you were saying the tractors were plowing the grass strip, this board doesn't know what's going to happen in, you know, another 42 years after the lease expires. Personally, I feel uncomfortable in locking in to a extension of a lease without having any flexibility on renegotiating terms of rent payments. I mean, because right now it's just on the CPI, and just overall in general, that hasn't really kept up with what the community is expecting this airport to provide as services now and in the future. So I don't know if anyone else wants to.
Yeah, I'd like to say something.
Okay.
I've done a great deal of research on this, and the previous board had some discussions with respect to the formation of a lease committee, etc., the fact that we were not managing the leases in a business-like manner, that they were, you know, as you just alluded to, the only increase is the CPI, etc. Since receiving the letters, and you and I have talked about this, we have received a communication from New Hampshire DOT, which for all intents and purposes is our FAA, and they gave us what the FAA guidelines are for leases. And basically they are, if you're not amortizing a loan, it should not exceed 20 years. And if it is amortizing a loan, it should be the length of the loan or 25 years as a maximum. Now, I've heard it said before that New Hampshire DOT and the FAA does not dictate to us, and you pointed out that this property is outside the boundary, which makes it a little bit more, gives it a little more wiggle room in that, you know, we're not talking about hangars. I sat down with the city attorney, as I indicated in the letter, and explained this to him, and he's had those leases for 3 months to look at, study, whatever, and he has communicated with Chris. Chris, you want to tell us what he said?
I had a meeting with Steve a few weeks ago, and he was supposed to get back to me prior to this meeting, but he's been tied up. And basically what he said is what Michael's stating, that we really can only honor what's already in the lease agreement. And going forward, if we extend it any further, according to what the FAA is saying, we're actually jeopardizing future grants to the airport if we go outside of what the FAA has stated is acceptable.
Okay, on the one hand, we have the risk of irritating or angering, if you will, the FAA, which may or may not be a valid statement. And on the other hand, I asked the city attorney, I said, what is the ruling factor here? Is the guidance put out by the FAA or what it says in the contract? And I believe what is coming back is what's contract. In the contract, irregardless of what the FAA says, is or is not a good number. If we have it in the contract that you're entitled to, what was it,
42 years,
we should be able to do that with no input or questions by the FAA. We may still get them. We may still create a situation with them. But I believe under contract law, that's what it says.
Right.
And we may incur the wrath of New Hampshire DOT or the FAA. I'm not saying that we would or we should or we shouldn't even worry about it.
Well, excuse me, Bob, to Mike's point, and if Steve Bolton read this as carefully as I did, he's a lawyer, I'm not a lawyer, but let me tell you, I've read every word. This, we are outside the aviation zone. This is a commercial use.
Yes, but
let me just go to the biggest point here is the FAA doesn't get, they're not in the business of going out and reviewing leases. This is not what they do. But they do audits periodically, I understand, and you know what, if they find that you're doing something inside the air zone, which goes and puts an extended lease that's out there, which is going to prohibit or constrain the airport from doing future activities, I understand that, and that's perfectly right. But to Mike's point, I would like to amend my request to number one, continue to add the 42-year extension, but change the rent to be at upon before the 42 years is going, be at fair market value as mutually agreed between lessor and lessee. And in the event, if we cannot mutually agree on fair market value within a 30-day period, the lessor will pick up an MAI appraiser, the lessee will pick an MAI appraiser, and those two appraisers will in turn, within 60 days, appoint a third appraiser, and whatever that appraiser deems as fair market value, so be it. That we'll live by it. And that at least gets us over the hurdle. Hey, is it fair market value rent?
And that's the key right there. Because you could argue that this is non-aviation. And I had that conversation with New Hampshire DOT, and basically their response was this. Under the grant assurances, we are expected to operate the airport in a business-like manner so that it covers the costs. And if you sign a lease that goes beyond the years that are recommended by the FAA, you are not necessarily capturing the income that you probably would under a lesser length of time. So that would be their argument. I think there is room to argue that it's non-aviation, and therefore their rules of 25 and 2025 should not be considered.
I'd like to suggest that if this discussion is going to go beyond tonight, that there is in fact a very good example, and so you can go talk to the folks at Pease Development Authority, that I'm familiar with, the Fairless has spoken to on other matters. They operate an airport and an industrial park, and a golf course. And interesting enough, I can tell you that the golf course supported the whole operation for a few years. But to this point, they have got commercial facilities, companies that have moved into their industrial park area outside the airport fence, and they will certainly have the kind of leases that you're talking about with those companies. These are very large rental rooms right now. It's on the Pease Development Authority property, which is the airport. And I'm sure that the members of Pease Development Authority would be happy to explain how they would address this very issue.
One last point. I am not, this request is not, it's not because it's something we need today. I would be more than happy to have the board take its time to do this very deliberately and look into all these different situations and like these and see what's going on in the marketplace, because that's, to me, beneficial. We're not under the gun to do anything today, but...
Well, I have a few things I wanted to ask you. First of all, it's nice to finally meet you. I've heard your name a million times, and your family has done a lot for the airport, for the community. Right now, as I understand it, this particular lease for this particular building still has 49 years. Is that right?
42 plus 7, yeah.
Yeah, so 49 years.
Yes.
To me, that's a long time. Is Eric here? The man who wants to purchase the building or has expressed an interest, is he, is this out of the water if we don't grant this extension? Is he saying, no, never mind?
This is what precipitated the discussion, and then I was thinking, it would be good to be able to do this for the benefit of the property. But in the back of my mind, I'm always there thinking, the airport authority is not in the business of taking over properties, and at some point we'll be able to negotiate a new lease. So that does. But for new buyers, maybe they don't have that same confidence. And Eric, about two or three weeks ago, had called and said he was ready to try to buy this property this year, but now he has put it off on the back burner because he had done some other investment. So it probably won't happen in the next. He said it may be a year from now if he's still interested, but who knows?
Okay.
But The big thing is, if you can just look at some of the literature I left with Mike, with the definition of a ground lease, it's 50 to 99 years. That's the standard. And financing people are going to want a minimum of 10 to 20 years. That's also including that after the term to have a comfort level, they're going to be able to do something with it.
Now, do you do any land leases yourself?
Yes, we do. We have a lot of land leases. In fact, in most cases, we are the lessor. We stand like in the shoes of the airport. We feel very comfortable in that position.
Right.
But we have long term leases, like, you know, with CVS, 75 years. We just, you know. But you know what? This is the time they need. The other leases that we have as the Northbridge Business Center is it's over on Northeastern Boulevard. All the business condos near the lumberyard there. Anyway, that is under a land lease that goes on. They always wanted to say the association wanted to. Beseeched us to purchase the property, and we said, no, we're happy just to get continue the income. Mm-hmm. And then the other cases where we have, like in Manchester at the airport, we leased F.W. Webb, a distribution facility that is now under construction, a land lease, 75 acres, and we leased one to Milton Catt up in the same area on Pettingill Road. We built that road up there. And Federal Express. Those leases were for 20. Those were for a 20-year term, but they had the option to buy after 2 years. And two of them have already closed on that, FedEx and Mooncat. So, if you grant an option to buy, but I don't think the Airport Authority would ever want to grant options to buy the property because you still want to be able to control it. Because, like you said, Mike, who knows what is going to happen 50 years from now, 25, 100? The Airport Authority is always going to be there. But you need to make sure you maintain flexibility in whatever you do. And so I just ask you to take my request, and I'm the little David, you're the Goliath, and take a look to see what's going on at other airports and fees. And I apologize for taking so much of your time tonight.
We will do that as you requested. We will take your information. I'll circulate this to the board. This item has been on old business, it's been on the agenda, so we haven't forgotten about it. We will keep it on there until we're ready.
There's no rush.
Take
your time.
All right.
May I just make one comment?
Yeah.
I just want to make you aware, I don't know if you are, but I communicated directly with Eric based on a letter that he sent to me as the acting airport manager, in which he said that he wants to buy the building, and there's a 38-year extension on the lease. It has 38 years to go, blah, 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 and he wanted another 40. And he wanted it at 10 cents a square foot. And if we could not certify that that was going to happen, he would not be in the building. That's his line is right here.
Oh, actually, I never got a call.
So I wrote back to him in February, and I said,
it would be nice to know.
You can't really answer your mail because it's under review by the legal folks. And we're not going to go 80, 90 years out into the future at 10 cents a square foot. That's not...
Absolutely.
Did you give him a copy of
I'm sorry?
Did you give him a copy of Eric's letter, too, in addition
to that?
Right? Oh, that is Eric's letter.
Okay, right.
If I were a board member, I would be saying the same thing, Bob. You said, look, you know what, at some point in time in the lease, you have to adjust it to fair market value, so you're getting... Yeah, we learned that the hard way. My dad and Jerry Nash had leased a long-term thing to Woolworths up at the Manchester Shopping Center years back. And it was at $1.80 a square foot. And this went on for years. And the comparable leases were going at $4 and $5. And they're still getting $1.80. And they're saying, never do that. We always have to have a... So you learn by the high school, but again, thank you for your patience.
Thank you.
Any other old business?
Did you want to want to discuss perimeter place or is that under new?
Is there perimeter place under old business?
No, they're not here.
Oh, okay. All right.
They're in the same general ballpark, except that they did not come in with a very long. We should be willing to do what it says in the contract and give them the extension that they're asking for. Again, they're trying to sell the building. For whatever the terms are in that contract, again, this one is outside the fence, and not be concerned about the so-called FAA rules.
Let's review the perimeter place investments for the next meeting. We can talk about it a little more. We have information.
Can I just add one thing in reference to 106? The FAA does state that they do not review leases, as Mr. Tamposi stated. They're not in the business of chasing these things down, but they can audit the lease. And like Attorney Bolton said, if we didn't honor what's in the lease right now, the 42-year extension, you can count on a lawsuit. And I don't think we want to enter into that, especially with the Tamposi family, for all that they have done with this for this airport and community.
We wouldn't want to do that.
We certainly
years, yeah. Right. And they're willing to renegotiate the rates. That's something to talk about.
We certainly will agree to honor any commitments that any previous boards have made.
We also need to start talking about standardizing going forward, right? So we don't have 20-year leases, 90-year leases, 72-year leases.
Yeah.
Okay.
Chairman Roosevelt, is there any merit to, excuse me if I'm online, but is there any merit to granting them this 42-year extension this evening?
Well, he has that.
I know he wants more, but he's entitled to this.
He already has that.
I don't think we're in dispute of the 2066 thing, right? Yeah. It's the 2108 date that we're.
Do we question that in the
month? No, I'm talking about the 42-year. They have the option to extend.
Yes. Yeah.
It doesn't automatically extend. They have the option if we so approve it or grant it, I guess.
Yes, it's a tenant who is buying the building. We obtain option a second extension for the term of 42 years period from August 2066 to July 31st, 2108.
Yeah, he's just asking for
the second. Mr. Tamposi said it himself. He said, take the time to study this. So I think we should take the time.
Okay, new business. I have one item, and that is director's terms. We have, correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Secretary, we have two directors expiring in August. One is Sandy and one is Farrell. Both have agreed to continue on board. We are sort of out of sync in having one board member terminating each year, now the cycle rotated. But to get back on that cycle, Sandy would agree to a one-year term, and Farrell would agree to a five-year term.
Now,
notice how the clapping stopped.
First of all, I'm going to go in front of the alderman again, so I hope you all come.
I was talking to Alderman Shulman, and he said that we discussed this. And he said to me that the rules currently state that if there is no replacement appointed right away and the person in the seat is willing, you can go on so that the board will not be diminished by two board members in August. I haven't found that language anywhere. I don't know why what he's talking about. I really don't.
Alderman,
I think when your term ends, and it's up to the board of aldermen to.
So, I would need to review this, but I believe that's addressed in the Enabling Act.
It says that the board members shall
shall serve until a new person is appointed.
But in order to clean up our cycle, get our cycles in order. Yeah.
So then we don't need to reappoint Sandy for a year. She could just continue for...
Until my husband divorces
me.
But Farrell would be renewed for a 5-year term.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think he's going to hang
on. So then who would be the next step? You? No, you just got reappointed.
So we would need a motion just with that over?
No, this is an administrative thing. I don't believe we need anything. No,
they just got to go through the motions.
We have to go through the
aldermen
motions with
and
the
board.
The
I think that's the mechanism, right? I mean, it's not an autonomous function by us, right? Some exterior of us is when board... Somebody's got to keep track of time, right? Like,
right.
We're appointed, so somebody exterior of us has to...
But I would recommend you have a conversation with Alvin Schoenman.
Okay.
He's working with the mayor, and I think I got the impression of the party that he's going to take care of it.
Okay, I will. So as long as we're all on the same page, then we have our board set for next year. Then. Good. Any other new business?
Yes, I take care of it.
Okay, upcoming events. We, as Chris stated, we have the poker run on Saturday, movie night on August 4th, Wings and Meals on August 5th. Any public input? Yes, Wes.
I'd like to thank Sandy for agreeing to on that side of the table for another year. I think
that's there was a lot of arm twisting.
I assume it was twisting of
money,
though.
Yes.
No,
Lenny's
been
doing it. So don't anyone tell Lenny.
Yeah.
Let it come from her.
And I like to say that I think Chris is doing a great job. Thank you, Lenny.
Director Duquette.
Sandy's living at two houses out of case money.
Sorry, go ahead.
Nope, nothing. Apologize for my little bit of tardiness this evening. Work got the best of me today. But.
Nothing tonight.
Echoing what Wes just said, at the barbecue, I tried to talk to just about everybody that was there. There was a lot of people there. And spontaneously, they were coming out to me and saying, you know, whatever it is you guys have done, you've done it well. And there it is right there. And there it is right there. And you are responsible for recruiting her and bringing her back to us. And the rest of you who know Chris should be patted on the back for that. Everybody seems to be delighted at what you guys are doing out there. And I noticed a tremendous spirit among the crew out there, Joe, and I just think it just goes to show you that there is some intelligence when a team leadership is changed, it can turn around the team, and I think the team is turning around.
Get out your waders and your oars and your John boats. Keep on going.
I was very, very happy I had short notes tonight. I will not be around for the poker run. I'm going to have my grandkids for me. I hope you guys kind of spread the word. It's a really great cause, and Ronnie does a great job. I am donating the food, but I will not be cooking it. So that's another reason to go. So I really hope you spread the word. And you know, nobody died that I can remember.
You're like the Telegraph, and it says no obituaries today.
I do, you know, I have agreed to stay. I don't feel like I'm doing a lot, and that's great because I shouldn't have to do a lot. I think Chris and Susan are thrilled with how things are going, and you know, it took a while to get here, but I'm glad we're here, and I trust them to not make me do any work.
I also want to echo what the board has said, that Christy doing a fine job, and Susan also. You made life easier for us, and tied up some loose strings, and helped us out quite a bit. And definitely showing. It was an excellent tenant barbecue. All good comments that I received from there. Everyone seemed to be very happy. The mood was upbeat. And, you know, when you serve food, they will come. The paving project, I'm delighted that it went under time and for budget purposes, and the tenants, they seem to be happy with the results, and just overall it makes things a lot easier now.
And let's congratulate Nick on his new cute baby.
Yes, his baby Logan.
Baby Logan. He'll bring him to the next
meeting. Well, it's on the recording. So,
so our next meeting is scheduled for July 19th.
I appreciate all the compliments, the comments. But I'd like to compliment and thank Susan. If she wasn't here, this transition that I've had would have been nearly impossible. So I thank you for doing a great job, and I'm happy to be working with her. I asked if I could go with them instead.
Do you think do we need a July meeting? Is there something pressing for July?
You have that thing with
Bunch of Food. Yeah, I said that you want to have plans. And then you're going to want to talk about the master plan stuff, possibly. I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I'd like to try to maybe not have one meeting during the summer.
Yeah, a lot of places don't do that.
July would be a nice month to have.
It would be nice, but we have something we need to do.
Well, you don't really need an official meeting for the DDE plan, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
It's very pro forma.
Can we have a special meeting with them?
Yeah.
Because it's like the CAP, a couple things, it'll be like 15
exactly.
minutes. And
we can be announced. We don't have to approve the entire agenda.
So when you get all that stuff together, you want to pick a day?
What, for that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the 19th was close for us, but... because we have a 30-day comment period stuck in there.
Oh, okay. So we should do it.
No, I think if you want to take the month off, what I would do is call a special meeting at some point during the month when it comes up, and we know, you know, we've got to have this done by this date.
Okay, so you'll get it all organized and give us a window?
Absolutely. If we don't have to have a meeting, we won't.
We don't necessarily have to have a vote on the CAP, right?
Right.
I think that's
no,
what you guys, so we don't technically have to vote on it. So once...
The DB and all that, you know.
I would still like to meet with Steve Bolt again as soon as he's done the lawsuit that he's dealing with.
And that's something that you're going to be working on that we won't necessarily have to review with you, but you can do all the work.
I would like to start to tackle that after we finish the master plan. And the other projects at this point, we'll put that as the next big project.
So does anyone object to not holding the regular July meeting? And should the need arise,
we'll
make us aware of...
Contact you and we can arrange something. I mean, nothing's out of that. It's not like you're going to lose money or anything.
Right.
No.
Okay.
Any objections for the public?
Okay. Do we need a motion for that?
I don't think we're
supposed to have monthly meetings.
We'll set it on the record then.
I'll make a motion to cancel the regularly scheduled July Nashua Airport Authority meeting.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Motion passes. Thank you. We're done with director's comments. I'd like to take a motion to adjourn.
Move to adjourn.
Okay.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you all. Thank you for coming.